Good evening. It's good to see you this evening. I realize we have several who are out. This being our fall break period and at school, a lot of people are traveling at this time of the year. We're thankful for your presence. Very familiar passage to us is found in the Sermon on the Mount as recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. We read, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp to put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm going to ask you a question. Where is your light? Is it on a lampstand, but under a bushel? Is it being hidden? Is it in plain view, glorifying God, or under a bushel? How intense is your light? How brightly is your light shining? This is also recorded for us in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36 reads, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light." Now notice, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. But then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. The whole body will be full of light, as when the bright light shining of a lamp gives you light. So as we see here, as he talks about in verse 35, "Therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." And light in that verse could almost be placed in quotation, air quotes, I guess, as they say today. Is your light the true light of truth, or is it the false light, the deceptive light of evil? And so the real question is, to what light are you drawn? So we're going to switch things up on you tonight. Because I think this is the point that Jesus was getting to. Not just where is your light and how bright is your light shining, or are you hiding your light. Those were points that he was making. But it goes to this point, he's saying. The point is, where is your eye? What is your eye drawn to? Is your eye drawn to the light of truth and godliness and righteousness and holiness and purity? Or is your light drawn to that which is evil? And if our eye is drawn to that which is evil, and we entertain that, then the light that is in us is not going to be the true light of salvation, but it's going to be the deceptive light that's going to lead to our destruction. So he says, take heed to that light which is in you, that light which is in you is not darkness. We are responsible for which light we allow into our heart. Are we focused upon self, or are we focused upon glorifying God and helping others? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the first five verses, we read, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, people turn away. In the last days, perilous times will come. This will be what it's like in the last days. And as you read that list, you realize that every single one of those things that he lists there were sins that people were being warned of in the contemporary times in which the New Testament was being written. Every single one of those things that is listed there are things that we could go back into the Old Testament and see that they were things that were present in the days of the patriarchs. So what is he saying? In the last days, perilous times will come, when perilous times had already come, in the sense as he has outlined for us here. I believe what he's talking about is the fact that men are not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And we could acknowledge that even in our relatively short lifetimes that has been the case. I was telling Dale here before services that I've kind of gotten into a practice of recording episodes of Gunsmoke. I don't know how many times that thing, season that ran. It must have been like 20 or something. I don't know. It was a long time. But one of those episodes was recorded off of the TV channel TV Land. And I'd never seen this before. But before Gunsmoke actually started, placard came up that says, "This program contains culture," and this is not an exact quote, "it contains culturally accepted morals. Viewer discretion advised." I said, really? Made me wonder, do they do that for, like, Leave It to Beaver and Fathers Know Best and other things? Have the morals of the 20th century become so offensive to the 21st century woke generation that they have to put a disclaimer on the values of the 20th century? Evil men shall wax worse and worse. Be on guard, brethren. Be on guard. What's the motivation for all of these things here? The list begins by saying men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. The love of the increase of money and fame and fortune and all of those things that would go with it. It's all focused upon self. Boasters. Would you say self is the common denominator of boasting? Pride. Blasphemers. Why would you blaspheme others if it's not to make yourself look good? Disobedient to parents. I don't want to do what my parents tell me. I want to do what I want to do. You see, each and every one of these things that he talks about here, unloving, unforgiving, it's all about self. It's all about being focused on self. Are you looking to yourself and the promotion of self? We live in a generation that celebrates that. Celebrityism and everybody trying to make a name for themselves on all of the different social media platforms and looking for likes and loves and all of those kinds of things. Need to be careful of what we're getting, of what attracts us and what might be sucking us in rather deceptively. Is our eye given to covetousness? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 says, "Nor thieves, nor covetousness, covetous or drunkards or revilers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Are you covetous? Do you covet even what you consider to be yours. It's my time, it's my possessions, it's all about me. You can covet what you don't have, and that's dangerous enough in and of itself. But if we have a covetous attitude about what we do have, that it's mine to be used selfishly, again, we're being deceived. Our light is being dimmed by a bushel of covetousness. Colossians 3 and verse 5 tells us to put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Therein lies our problem, doesn't it? We're not content with the clothes that we have, the car that we drive, the house that we live in, the spouse that we live with. And we start coveting something else, something different. And in that coveting, we find that, you know, we're, our self is pursuing something, but we're also not happy. You've never met a covetous person who is happy. They're always dissatisfied. Perhaps, as Colossians 3 and verse 5 points out to us, our covetousness is toward fornication or uncleanness or passion or a desire for that which is evil. Idolatry is motivated by those passions and justifies the practice of fornication. That's why idolatry, as silly as it was, as illogical as it was as popular as it was, because it justified the practice of fornication and gratification of passion. Today we say, well, everybody else is doing it, why can't I? It's legal. Just because man legalizes something doesn't mean that God authorizes it or sanctions it. If God's word speaks against it, we must be against it. What is your eye focused on? The darkness or the light? What do you want your light, your heart to become? What do you want to exude from you? Do you find that you don't want people knowing about your fornication, your uncleanness, your passion, your evil desire? That's something you want to keep to yourself. That should be an indication to you that it's your heart is not in the right place. You're not being attracted to the true light. That the light that is in you is not. It is darkness. And the more you give yourself to it, the darker your heart will become. Some people have a problem with temper. James 1 and verse 19 says, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There are too many people that are quick to anger, quick to respond in anger. Perhaps they feel like they can intimidate the person that has made them angry by acting like they're angry. Now, there's a lot of animals in the animal kingdom, in fact, nearly all of them, before aggression is actually carried out, there is an intimidation factor that they will display first. Human beings are a good bit the same way. And sometimes people might not ever think about actually using violence to settle a matter, but they will attempt to use the threat of violence and the display of their temper to try to stop an argument or to discourage their opponent, especially those who stand for truth. Sad to say, that's very prominently seen in the political world today. If you just pay attention to what's going on, if you want to pay attention, some people don't even want to pay attention to that, and I understand that. But you can see these traits being carried out. You can see them being displayed quite often. Bitter envy and jealousy. What is your eye attracted to? Are you envious of others? Are you jealous of others? In James chapter 3, in verses 13 through 18, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Catch that. His works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you were wise, why would you be meek about your wisdom? Why wouldn't you want to promote your wisdom? That's the way of the 21st century, isn't it? It's because if you're truly wise, you recognize that your knowledge and your application of that knowledge is both of them are taught to you by God. That you have nothing to boast in other than the revelation of God's word. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, you will lie against the truth. It doesn't matter what the truth is. The fact that the truth shines a light on the darkness that is in your heart, you will speak out against it. You will speak out against the person speaking truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. If you have in your heart the desire to retaliate against those who are speaking truth, who are encouraging you to know and practice truth, that last word there, I hope, shakes you to your very foundation. It's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, self-seeking, self-promotion, proving yourself right rather than letting the truth be proven to be right, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. That's what we've been noticing in Romans 14, hasn't it, in our adult Bible study? Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The truth applies to me as much as it applies to anyone. We should all be able to say that. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth with the desire of letting the truth be known, but also that peace might be realized among the different factions, and especially between an individual and God. Is your eye given to pride, promoting self? James 4, verses 6 through 8 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let the light that is in you be a pure light, giving no place to the evil and the darkness of evil. Foul speech. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that you may impart grace or favor to the hearers. You're not going to win arguments, and you're not going to win souls, and you're not going to win people over to truth and encourage them to walk in the light if you are using corrupt words. You might be trying to win an argument and bolster your argument with corrupt words, but it will have no effect to those whose eye is inclined towards that which is good, and they hear that which is corrupt coming from your mouth, which is an indication of what is in your heart. If we want to win people to Christ and encourage people to walk in the light, we must use pure words and the light of truth. There is also a motivation of revenge. Somebody's done evil to us, and we want to get our revenge on them. We're not really trying to overcome that evil. We're just interested in getting revenge. Romans 12 and verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. In fact, it goes on to say that we overcome evil with good, not by seeking revenge. God will take care of justice and getting justice in that matter. If we want to overcome evil that has been done against us and overcome the evil that is in the heart of the one who has done evil, we need to practice good. Repay no one evil for evil. Always do that which is right, that which is good. Hatred. 1 John 2 and verse 11 says, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Sometimes you read things in the New Testament that makes you wonder and makes you be in awe of the insight of God in what he knows about Christians. This was written to Christians. Do you hate someone? God knew that it was a human characteristic, a carnal characteristic, to hate others, to hate those that you disagree with, to hate those who rub you the wrong way, if you will. And to the church, he wrote, he who hates his brother. I mean, it makes you sad just to read those words, doesn't it? Hate your brother or sister in Christ? As a child of God, we should not hate anyone. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. What is your eye inclined towards? Does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He can't even see how to love his brother, as we are clearly taught. throughout the gospel of Christ. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. People try to justify each of these things. Hatred, revenge, foul speech, pride, bitter envy, jealousy, tempers, covetousness, promotion of self. But there is no justification for any of it. Murmuring and complaining. Jude, verse 16 says, these are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. There's a difference between great swelling words of flattery and true loving words of edification. When you're edifying, you're interested only in the person you're trying to edify, not in getting on their good side. Have an eye for the light, not an eye for the darkness. It's so easy to get confused, and it's so easy to justify getting drawn into the darkness. But we need to train our heart and our eye to look to the good, to look to the light. We need to believe. John 12 and verse 36, Jesus said to his apostles, while you have the light, believe the light. He, of course, was the light. He says, believe me, that you may become the sons of light. We continue to have that light with us today, this word of light today. While you have the light, while you have the opportunity to read and to study and rightly divide and meditate on the word of light, do so today. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. The day is coming and we're not going to be able to read anymore. We're not going to be able to grow anymore. We're not going to be able to rightly apply these words of light to our lives. But we'll be judged by them. Now's the time to give ourselves to them, to believe them, to trust them, and to obey them. And so we are to practice and have a desire for wholehearted obedience. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Another way that can be translated is do all things without inwardly resenting the doing of these things. Inwardly resenting that you are being called to practice these things. Do these things that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're different. You stand out from the world. You stand out from the darkness. Light is different from darkness, isn't it? And he says, you're to stand out. You're to be different. You're not to be like the darkness. You're to be the light. Become blameless and harmless. Is that your desire? Is that what you look to? Is that what you want to be? Without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation? Again, you come back to Matthew 5 and verse 16, where Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is not about you. This is not about calling attention to you. This is about calling attention to God by doing the good works that he has revealed in his word, that people might see him in the life that we live and be attracted to the righteousness, the holiness, and the purity that he is and that he calls us to. We are to have a light that desires to be watching, to be sober-minded, to have a working faith, love, and hope. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 8 says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness." You are to separate yourself. Realize who you are. You're not to be like the night or the darkness. You are to be like the day. You are to be like the light. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Let's be serious about this. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why do we have this desire to be sober, to be practicing true faith and love, to embrace a valid hope of everlasting life? Let us be practicing that which is righteous. Proverbs 13 and verse 9 says, "The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out." What is your eye inclined towards? Inclined towards wickedness? Your light is going to be put out. Your light is not light. It is darkness. The light of the righteous rejoices. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, as we often refer to, tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and it is in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you rejoice in righteousness? When you're called out of darkness to practice righteousness, are you rejoicing to make that turn? Are you rejoicing to practice the righteousness that you've confirmed to be the truth of God's word of light? Again, we come back to Luke chapter 11 and verses 33 through 36. But notice with me, verse 34, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness." So you drop down to verse 36. He says, "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark." In other words, if then your desire is for your whole body to be full of light. We noticed this morning from 1 John chapter 1 that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Is that your desire? Is that what your eye is inclined towards? If that's what's in our heart, then that's what we'll be looking to. That's what we'll be attracted to. If that's where your desire is, then your body will be full of light. You'll be walking in the light as He is in the light, having no part dark. And the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. What is your eye desirous to look upon? Do you look upon righteousness and light and truth and purity and holiness? Or is it inclined to look upon that which God describes as evil and darkness? What is your desire? Where is your eye looking? Think about these things tonight. I hope they'll encourage each of us to indeed have a greater love for truth and light and a greater disdain for those things that are darkness, that we will not look upon them or be inclined to have them in our character, but we will want a character of holiness and purity, of righteousness, a life that glorifies God. you're here tonight and you find that you are subject to the invitation of Christ to come to Him, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you desire to do so, we certainly desire to help you in that. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God out of favor with Him and need to make things right with Him, James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.